Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, what is going on, faithful? I could not be happier than to be with you guys right now because I have just finished a little over 2 straight hours of just film breakdowns. We have new all 2022 tape. Today's the best day. I cannot express how happy I am today. One, the film and the football is everything. Don't get me wrong. We've waited too long. And man, the takeaways that I have from the tape, so much stuff. I coached and I understand, being at the game or the broadcast view and then switching to the all 22 in the end zone. Man, you just see so much stuff. So I'm excited to share that with you. Also, a little Chapman news. We took a little Chapman to college today and enrolled in some dual credit classes. This is his last year of his senior year, but we're doing some dual credit. So I'm like, ooh, I'm not even going to have to be homeschooling every single class this year. I'm telling you, today is John Chapman Day, and there is nowhere else I'd rather be right now than with you guys. Appreciate all of the hashtag CCs. Y'all are the best, man. Y'all are the absolute best. This is episode 1479 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and we're just going to be talking tape. So a lot more of a review of the 49ers versus the Broncos, and just appreciate everybody here. Oscar, my man, you guys are awesome. So that's what we're going to be going over. Now, if you want to watch the 2+ hours, as much or as little as you want to watch offense, we've got it broken down for you by offense. You want to watch defense, you got that. The entire first half is up, special teams included. Every single play, offense, defense, special teams, every single play of the offense first half is up. All you got to do is go to our Patreon page, and this is how I feed my family. This is the way John Chapman pays his bills. The link is in the description of the video. Our Patreon is just 49ers Rush Podcast. It comes out to just over a quarter per video we put out, depending on the tier you want to sign up. And we have a 7-day free trial. So you can go sign up, watch the tape. If you like it, stay. If not, cancel. Free of charge. I don't care. If it's not what you want, I don't want you to pay for it. And then the 49ers Rush, that is our main website that we built. It's the same stuff on both. It's just we keep 100% of it there. So if you're going to sign up on one, I prefer the 49ersrush.com, but we'll take whatever we can get. And trust me, just go sign up, check it out, watch some tape. It's going to make you understand a lot more. I'm telling you, it's like a quarter of video. So it's fun. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Ooh, Oscar, have a feeling Grindo isn't coming back anytime soon. That is scary. And we look at the roster moves. Amir Abdullah, who had the rib injury, he is on season-ending IR, so he's gone. The 49ers waived the wrong quarterback. Tanner Mordecai got cut. Did they not watch Carter Bradley? The worst player, the worst quarterback I've ever seen, probably. How did he keep his job after what he just did? I have no clue. Why? I know why. It's very, very simple. His dad's a coach on the team, and nepotism is Kyle Shanahan's way. Sometimes it's a good thing. This is a very bad thing. I'm not saying Tanner Mordecai is great or anything like that, but to watch that tape and come away with cutting Tanner Mordecai, not Carter Bradley, geez. He's so bad. How does he still have a job? He's so bad. Anyway, probably the best news of the day, Andre Diller, the swing tackle hopeful, has been activated off of NFI or PUP. I forget which one he was on, but it doesn't matter. He's activated. So he's got a couple weeks to prove he's better than Spencer Burford. He's better than Austin Pleasants. It's not a very tall task for an NFL journeyman that was a former first-round pick. I don't have a lot of confidence in Andre Dillard, but I will tell you this. It was not a good outing for Austin Pleasants. And it's funny because that first series, the first and second series of the offense, Spencer Burford just like, oh my gosh, it's about as bad as it could be. Well, Kyle Shede comes out and says, well, those three plays were all on the tight ends. They did not do their jobs once. So that made it look bad. And I will tell you this after watching the tape, Spencer Burford, after those first two series and, you know, those three huge misplays, Jake Tonjes had a really bad first half. So many missed assignments. They call them MAs, right? Like George Kittle, you always hear him talking about, like, we can't have MAs. But that was kind of the big – Jake Tonjes had a lot. But Spencer Burford wasn't as bad. That one series was rough, but you've got to understand, he got screwed over three times. This is not a pro Spencer Burford, you know, whatever, but it definitely wasn't as bad. Like Austin Pleasants was bad. Austin Pleasants, I don't think is a scheme fit. He just cannot move. Like he's too heavy footed, can't get to the blocks at the second level, can't help in the screen game. And if you just outside press and then counter inside, he can't do it. He does not fit this scheme. I understand that they're trying to like work over unless you want to kick him into guard, but it's still, no, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. But the right tackle position, it's a wasteland in the NFL. It's what it is. Now, the last one, two new signees. Jeff Wilson Jr. has risen from the grave, ghost of girlfriend's past or whatever. Like, he's back. I love Jeff Wilson, North Texas guy. Tough, does a little bit of everything. No excitement level, no big explosive, but just gets the job done, jack-of-all-trades type guy. And then defensive lineman Trevis Gibson signed as well. Don't know much about him. I'll do some research later, but I had to go live at this point today. Now, not practicing today, and this is a little bit of bad news, a lot of rookies. Upton Stout's not practicing. Tatum Bethune, who had a hell of a game. I thought he was one of the best players on the field. His coverage was impeccable. I could not have more of a stock up for Tatum Bethune after watching that tape. Dude was awesome. Tatum Bethune is the number four linebacker pressing for number three with Luke Gifford. And then there's a giant chasm, and Nick Martin is way after that chasm. Nick Martin's got a ways to go. Now, he showed burst. He showed speed. He showed sideline to sideline. Very poor tackling. Several missed tackles where he didn't even get his hands on the guy, so it doesn't classify as a missed tackle. And then special teams missed tackles too. So, this is the issue. Whenever you put so much stock in rookies, they don't pan out all the time. And I'm not saying Nick Martin's not going to pan out, but to have them dependent upon them to pan out week one, that is stupid. It's negligent. It really, really is. And the 49ers are going to be up against it. Now, some of the rookies will pan out. And, man, Marquise Siegel, he's not practicing today either. That dude was phenomenal. Mikael Williams not practicing today either with that hyperextended knee. But the 49ers are up against it because you did not buttress your roster with veteran quality depth. And, man, we saw that quick, didn't we? You get down to those third and fourth stringers, and they're just running circles on you out there, the Denver Broncos. Monkey Boy, appreciate the super chat. You're the best. He says, I may be watching you too much because now I'm getting just as pumped as you when watching punt breakdown and seeing guys be where they should be. Probably the happiest I got, okay? We're punt coverage. Thank you, Monkey Boy. You probably already watched it. We punt the ball. It's routine punt, whatever else. We have legitimate outside contain punt coverage gunners. And so when you're doing punt coverage under Brian Schneider, you just run down there and have fun. It's like recess, man. Just kids running. You know, it's like ducks crossing the street. Just follow the guy in front of you, run, do whatever the hell you want to do. Not under Brent Boyer. There are waves. There are three waves. And I freaking love it in punt coverage. And we gave up a huge punt return. But I'm telling you, and I'm watching, I'm just like, hey, the reason why there's a big punt return is because of missed tackles. Nick Martin missed one. John Weeks missed one. Like what? But the guys are where they're supposed to be. So you got to work on tackling with the special teams unit. I get that. But at least for the first time in years, we have legitimate containment zones on punt coverage. Special teams is coached properly. Imagine that. It's coached properly. We have two punt gunner defenders, cornerbacks, on each of the gunners. Our punt blocking is sound. It's the preseason. I know, but there was not one guy close to blocking a punt. We don't have guys retreating. They are checking the inside gap before they release. They are blocking until the ball is kicked. Like, I'm talking football 101, and I am just tickled to death, guys. I mean, these cheeks are red all the time, but I'm a jolly chubby Chapman today because I am just pumped. Like, I don't have to pull my hair. I didn't say one F word. And my film breakdown today, which special teams almost always gets it out of me, going from Hightower to, you know, where we are now. But I'm telling you right now, fundamentally, the 49ers are sound. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. Hasn't happened. But it is happening now. And I'm very thankful that I am not the only one. Thank you, Monkey Boy. You are the man. Oh, look at this. Matt Barrows. Just watched Juwan Jennings do a very light workout on the side field. Some high knees, jogging, ladder drills, then went back inside the weight room. Hey, you see Bigfoot, you take a picture. I'm just joking. I'm excited about this. We might be here a while. I'm just going to be honest with you. I am just so happy for quality coaching. And as much as I harp on, you know, we're not getting the veteran depth in the roster and, you know, saving cap and cash and all that stuff, the coaching makes up for it. The coaching makes up for it. Look at Kevin. Happy to see John in his element film. I'm telling you, man, I don't know if this is how the groundhog feels when he comes out and sees his shadow or what. Like, I'm freaking, woo!
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Top of the morning to you guys. I'm pumped. Big Brick. Some positives, mostly improvement opportunities. There are a lot of positives. I walked away, and we'll go through the grades and all that stuff. Alfred Collins, I thought, played really, really poorly. No, film in the first half. I've only finished the first half offense, defense, special teams. He didn't play bad. He didn't play great. He didn't. He played good, but how many people would say Alfred Collins outplayed CJ West? I would argue in the first half, probably. He had fewer negatives. He had fewer missed assignments, and he had two elite hustle plays. Like, you see enough, and he's going to develop. And I don't think Alfred Collins is where I wanted him to be at this stage, but man, you're talking two plays made outside of the hash, 25 yards downfield, opposite side of where he was lined up at. I mean, 6'6", 330, like two elite effort plays that like you highlight as a coach and you show on the big screen, look at 95 here. Now, is he dominant at the point of attack? No. Is he getting a lot of penetration? No. But like, I'm just saying there are positives that you're like, dude, if this dude clicks, there's a reason why he was drafted in the second round. He hasn't done it yet. He hasn't done it yet. And, you know, if you want to do the flip side of this coin, it's like, dude, 49ers draft class, first round pick injured, second round pick not playing up to par. Nick Martin's not even close to linebacker 4, let alone linebacker 2. He was really, really bad. Upton Stout injured. Jordan Watkins looked awesome. Well, the film, Jordan Watkins was pretty bad. A lot of major issues on film for Jordan Watkins, but Shanahan alluded to this. Just he's got some stuff he's got to work on, but the positives are that Marquis Siegel might be the best of the rookie class so far. You talk about best tape out of the rookie class. It's Marquis Siegel. It's not close. Now he's not practicing either. Like, Marquis Siegel looked freaking incredible. Like, I'm telling you, and everybody compares the rookie Marquis Siegel to Jimmy Ward. And I get it whenever you look at the athleticism and kind of the way he's built and all those things. No. You are wrong, ladies and gentlemen. He looked like freaking Tayshaun Gibson found the fountain of youth and had like, you remember whenever you were a kid and you go to Taco Bell and you get that Pepsi? Like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like Pepsi's a little bit different there. That's what he looks like. He looks unbelievable. Perfect alley player. Always where he needs to be. And just how quick he is making his reads consistently. The best, like, if we're just judging off of tape that we can quantify against an opponent, Marquis Siegel so far is the best rookie in this draft class, and I don't think it's close. And then, you know, you get to Connor Colby. Good gosh, Connor Colby looked good. He would be my number 2. Sebastian Valdez would probably be my number 3. Now, Upton Stout, he's probably, you know, and Mikael Williams. Yeah. But, and I'm not overreacting. It's just, if we only go off of what we just got, dude, Marquis Siegel is awesome. Connor Colby, he was the highest rated player, offense or defense, for the 49ers on PFF. Had a 77.8 grade. That's not elite. No, we had higher defensive grade. Sorry, that's the highest offensive graded player. But he played 41 snaps and looked good, looked consistently good, anchored well. Not only anchored well, didn't get pushed back into the quarterback, he would reestablish in pass pro. So, okay, he's anchoring against defensive tackles. And again, he was playing against the number 2 team for the Denver Broncos. So he gets pushed back, he anchors, gets to the stalemate position, but then he would reestablish and then force the defender back in pass protection. And so, like, the 49ers' offensive philosophy with their offensive line is don't get beat, you know, hyper-athletic, whatever else. Like, think Jake Brendel, Colton McKivitz, you know, Ben Bartsch. We're not asserting dominance with our guys. That's not what we're doing. Hyper-athletic, get to the second level, whatever else. you start watching Connor Colby and Drew Moss to a lesser extent. But he played mostly second half. So I'll keep those for a later date. But this dude is like asserting dominance on these defensive tackles and moving them. Like, not just stalemate, pass protection, Nick Zekel. No, no, no. I'm talking about you're going that way, whether you want to or not, in pass protection. I'm a little excited. I thought he was awesome. And his run blocking grade, he had 78.6, second highest on the team, third highest on the team. Ben Bartsch had the first highest with an 81.2. Drew Moss had the highest with an 83.7. Like, all right, there's some good things there. There's some good things there. Oscar, having to fill in Grindo. Yeah, we talked about that one. Sorry about that. I went back. I might need to keep both Colby and Moss on the 53. That guard is a logjam. There are so many guards on this team. I don't know how the Niners are going to finesse this, but you're stuck here a little bit, okay? Dominique Pooney for sure. Ben Bartsch for sure. Zekel probably is the backup there. Like, and then you're not, if you keep those three, you're not keeping a center too. So Matt Hennessy's not going to make the roster. Matt Hennessy should make this roster. Then you got Connor Colby. Then you got Drew Moss. Like, Drake Nugent played fairly well, but probably not. You've got a logjam at this position. And we saw this last year when the 49ers cut Jared Kingston. Shouldn't have. Like, they screwed up the roster last year with their cuts. Like, did y'all see Cody Schrader play for the Rams? That dude would be our running back two right now. He would be our running back two right now. And, you know, you want to talk about Deshaun Jameson. You want to talk about Spencer or Samuel Womack. Like, Ambry Thomas you kept. Ronnie Bell you kept. Like, the 49ers are going to have to get creative with this 53. But there's a lot of guys. This is what happens whenever you draft 11 rookies and have six undrafted free agents. That's 17 guys. That's a full practice squad in and of itself. How do you keep some of these guys that flash? Sebastian Valdez, Drew Moss. Seventh round picks. Like, how do you keep them? You got to get creative, and you can't keep everybody. And I'm going to be upset. You're going to be upset. When we do our 49ers roster breakdown, you're going to be mad. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to take it personal, and I'm not going to let it go. Just like I haven't in the past. Like, that's how much I care about these guys. And you know, we do these roster breakdowns, which we've got 11 more videos to go. Oh gosh, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Now we got film breakdowns as well. I'm in full overtime mode. I love it. I love it. I love it. Joe, I enrolled in football 101 in a reading. Take your eyes off the ball. Dude, look at Joe. So for those of you who don't know, on our Patreon in the 49ers Rush, every play from the past 3.5 years is loaded on there. As soon as you sign up, you get it. But then we also have football 101. And so that walks us through what is inside zone, what is outside zone. What is quarters coverage, what is cover three. If you want to learn, like, you know, how to learn about football when you watch it, Take Your Eyes Off the Ball. One of the best books written about football. Go check it. It's Pat Kerwin. You know, he's one of the SiriusXM guys. I've met him before, talked to him before. Great guy. That's there. So we have like a whole football 101. If you want to learn about the wide receiver passing tree, what things look like, pass pro, like film breakdown to help you learn and understand the game. Joe, thank you for pointing that out. And I hope it helps. That's the idea. What are we doing here at the 49ers Rush? We are increasing a positive fan experience, hopefully. And we are educating through film and former coaching kind of aspects and analysis. That's what we're trying to do. And build in a positive community, which you are the best at. Rocky Mountain says, watch the offensive breakdown feeling better on the offensive line than the broadcast view. Big time, big time. Still could use some upgrades, though. That's by design. And whenever you don't play, you're starting left tackle. You're starting center. You're starting right guard. You're starting right tackle. Remember, the 49ers played against every single starter the Broncos have. All of them. Through the entire first quarter and outscored them 9-0 with backups. You had a couple starters out there, but the film is always better. And the Andre Dillard being back at practice is huge. Might not pan out, but You know Austin Pleasance isn't it. How the hell is Carter Bradley still on this team? Am I crazy? Like, Carter Bradley literally put up the worst game I have ever seen. And, oh, man. I don't know. More news. Matt Barrow says Jordan Watkins came out of Saturday's game with a high ankle sprain. It's going to be out a month. Talk about stacking positions, injuries on positions. You can't keep running backs healthy. You can't keep wide receivers healthy. You can't keep corners healthy. Can't keep defensive tackles healthy. Injuries on, and now the safety position. Now you got three safeties out. Get them out of the way early, I guess. But yeah, Jordan Watkins going to miss a month. So Ayuk's out. Jacob Cowie's out. Our pets' heads are falling off. yeah, that's bad, man. Kyle Shanahan said the appeal process is ongoing for DeMarcus Robinson, who is suspect to a suspension coming on for his DUI and all that stuff. Yikes, 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 man. It is rough out there on these 49er streets. Make no mistake about it. And, man, week one, you're a month out. So, like, that timetable for Jordan Watkins, who his tape wasn't good. The explosives were good. He caught at the catch point good. That was great, great, great. Consistently, two interceptions were kind of his fault. One of the sacks was his fault, got blown up and just never even released on his route. Not consistent. And so the idea of Jordan Watkins being in the wide receiver one rotation, if the tape didn't tell you that's not happening, this injury sure as hell does. Shanahan doesn't want to rely on rookie wide receivers early in the season anyway, let alone when you're playing against a division opponent like the Seattle Seahawks. That's not happening either. So wherever you were, Jordan Watkins is not going to be heavily phased in during the regular season, week one, maybe week two, week three. It's going to be veterans and hopefully Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, maybe Cowan gets back. But, man, I hate that all these damn injuries keep going on. It's really, really bothering me. All right, I want to get to some defensive takeaways, some positive defensive takeaways, some players that really, really stood out right after this.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds, already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie.
All right. Now, I understand everybody loves Sebastian Valdez, and I do too. I mean, he's awesome. Kyle Shanahan's talking about, you know, how he, like, pops and all this kind of stuff. Like, awesome. Just awesome. But I don't think he was even the best player out there. I think that the best, you know, if we're looking at grades, Trey Brown had the best grade, 93.5. Trey Brown has been consistently great, and he's playing multiple positions, awesome on special teams, playing slot corner and outside corner. Like, Trey Brown, I really like him. It's just injuries. That's always been the thing with him. Injuries. Missed 39 games in four seasons, but he's been healthy. He's been out there. Luke Gifford, oh, he didn't play a lot. He got the starter kind of rep, him and Jason Pinnock. He played 10 snaps, but there was one play where he got cracked by a backer on an outside toss. Literally just throws the guy to the side, plays inside out, and makes this perfect tackle for a tackle for loss in the red zone. And it was just like the 49ers pulled him that play. They're like, all right, get him out. Like, we know what he is. They pulled him out in the middle of the red zone. Get him out. He's done. Luke Gifford is your starter. Tatum Bethune was awesome. Tatum Bethune. Now, his grades weren't great. He finished with a 66.7 grade. but his coverage ability. What was the knock on Tatum Bethune? Can't cover. He's great versus the run. It took him a year. This dude is hitting his coverage drops. They were doing Tampa 2 deep middle mic drops that you do with Fred Warner, where he's dropping, you know, 25 yards downfield. This dude's, he had one like horrible play where he's supposed to wall number three in his drop. So you count the eligibles outside 1, 2, 3, and he's supposed to wall number three, right? So they snap the ball and he gets to his zone drop, but he opens the wrong way. So you're supposed to open to your left, but he opens to the right to wall number three. But there's only one wide receiver over there, and he's all the way outside. And he goes, uh-oh. So then he turns around and trips. It's comical, but it's like, all right, you got that out of the way early. It didn't cost the 49ers too much or whatever else. But, man, after that, it was just like you're seeing 48 everywhere. Just everywhere. Tatum Bethune, whew, I'm telling you, I am so happy with just what I saw. How many snaps did he play? He played 35 snaps. It was the starting Mike backer. And golly, man, that like lights just turned on. It took a year. It took a year. And I'm not saying he's a great coverage guy, but he was such a liability in that area, you could not play him. Well, it doesn't seem to be the case anymore. He finished with a 71.3 coverage grade. That's awesome. He was targeted three times, gave up one catch. No, sorry. He's targeted three times, gave up two catches for 5 yards. Like, just right on top of everything. Ah, man. It's nice to have young, exciting linebacker in the fold that could step up. I don't think he's going to be a starter. Your three are Fred Warner, then D. Winters, who's awesome, and then Luke Gifford. Then now you have backup. And even if you have an injury, Nick Martin's not going to be him. Nick Martin's making this roster third-round pick. That dude's just learn. He's in learn mode. He missed reads. He chased the wrong guy several times across formation that he's not even on in zone. Major issues in coverage and major issues in the run game. Hesitant, but whenever he did go, he went 100% and he goes all out and he leaves it all out there. Several missed. He's just too eager. You saw positives, but it's like, nah, this guy, he's got to learn. He's got to learn. It's going to be a while. You're not going to see Nick Martin until after the bye week, probably. He'll be on every special teams group, and he'll be in the room learning and just whatever else. But he's kind of on that Tatum Bethune plan, which is rough because Tatum Bethune was a 7th-round pick. Nick Martin was a 3rd-round pick, early 3rd-round pick. But it's probably best for him. There's nobody's confusing Nick Martin with Fred Warner or Dre Greenlaw with how quick that they came out. It's just not going to be that way. I'm so behind in the chat, and I apologize. I'm going to get to these super chats for sure, but I want to make sure I check out all of the what's it called? Yeah, okay, good. We're good. Let's get to these super chats. I'll talk some more. I appreciate you guys. Skywalker, appreciate you, brother. He says, keep two quarterbacks and make room for Junior Bergen. Well, The good news is the number three on this roster, yeah, right here, Yan, it's Rourke. And so, like, he's not going to count as a roster spot. You keep him on the NFI, he doesn't count as a 53. So you cannot let him come out and start practicing now. And you got to have three quarterbacks for, you know, to get through camp. And you've got to do favors for your coaching staff and nepotism all the time. Right, Gus Bradley? It's so stupid. But whatever. Carter Bradley not making this roster. Cannot believe he didn't get cut. Oh, my gosh. Big Brick says, you know, Mordecai might have a future elsewhere, but it ain't here. It's not here. CJ Beathard's still out there. I love it. Rourke will be the quarterback three. You put him on the NFI, and maybe, you know, you elevate a quarterback or whatever else from the practice squad. But, yeah, it's rough. Right here, Fish are relaxing. Appreciate the super chat. Siegel was not on tape. Was he? What was in the game? I don't confuse. Marquis Siegel was badass. His injury, I don't think, was on tape, I think is what you're saying. Yeah, Marquise Siegel played 33 snaps, had a 63 grade. But golly, man, six tackles, two solo stops. There was one play where they ran a screen play to RJ Harvey. Awesome third-round rookie pick, elusive as hell, out of UCF. Really, really high on that guy. Nobody. There's nobody but them two and a blocker. There's a tight end, basically ISOing on Marquise Siegel, and RJ Harvey has a two-way go. He's got 5 to 7 yards on the right, 5 to 7 yards on the left. There's nobody else in frame. Marquise Siegel bench presses the tight end, extends one arm, controls, goes out, wraps up, tackles him by himself. Nobody even helps. Like, that should have been a 40-yard game. Marquise Siegel brought him down for like a gain of 5 or 6, and it was just like, whoo, what is happening? Jair Brown could never. Like, you just saw how clean it was. Like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what defense looks like. And it was just, again, it was that kind of young and spry Tayshaun Gibson. It was just like, what is happening here? I'm telling you, man, I could not be more excited than I am for Marquise Siegel at all. Just, man, couldn't be more excited. Logan, Martin needs some more work. Yeah, that is very, very true. And he's going to get it. He's going to get it. But the potential is there. Exactly. Like, you got to remember, this guy, you know, Martin was an 8 out of 10 for me on my 49ers fit scale, and we docked him 2 points because of the injury and because of the lack of experience. He was one of the least experienced linebackers to come out of the draft. It was a bad linebacker class in general. But Robert Saleh says he has exactly what we want, but, man, the experience just ain't there. And even in the Oklahoma State tape that we broke down on the 49ersrush.com in our Patreon, he misses fills, he misses reads, but whenever he makes the right read and the right fill, it's just as clean as it could possibly be. But you got to get consistency. You got to get consistency, and he just doesn't have that yet. He got to pick that up. I love the comments in the chat right now. Jerry, appreciate you. He says, I hate that we're going to have to watch another 2 quarters of Bradley versus Ray. That does suck. And I'm flying out there for that one. So anyway, yeah, you want to meet up for a drink or something, you're in Vegas, let me know. But yeah, it's rough out there. Stone Blanton. Let's talk about the man, Stone. I thought Stone looked good. That you could see the reads. He processes much faster than Nick Martin does. He processes more correctly than Nick Martin does. But he can't get to where Nick Martin gets. You know what I mean? And so this is the thing. The linebacker position, you could disguise lack of athleticism with awareness and IQ. And Stone has that. Like, you could tell he spends a lot of time in the film room. You know, when we had him on the show, we had both of those guys on the show. And, you know, Stone Blanton, I just remember walking away going, this guy watches tape. You could tell he watches tape. He talked about it all the time. Almost all of his answers. Like, well, in the film room, tape, you know, whenever I watch the tape, I'm watching, like, and that corresponded to how he played out there. He just can't get there. So if you can get Nick Martin to recognize and have the awareness of Stone, then that's just not how the NFL works. But I did think that Stone played relatively well. He graded out well. 42 plays, had a 62.1 grade, 79.2 coverage grade. He was getting to his drops pretty damn good. I walked away pretty pleased. And I would say Stone definitely outplayed Nick Martin. Nick Martin had a 31 grade, played 49 snaps, but the potential, it just means you haven't done it yet, right? That's all that means. So, but yeah, Stone wasn't bad. Nick Martin was bad. But if they all hit, Nick Martin's ceiling is leaps and bounds further ahead of what what Stone Blanton can do. But we got to see here. And yeah, Invader, man, Invader knows his stuff. Kudos to Bethune for remaking his body, getting faster over the offseason. It shows. Like, there's a couple plays where it's like, man, that looks like D Winners. Like, he's moving so fast. Yeah, it's 4.8. You see him out there. You see him out there. So I love that. Fish are relaxed. Thanks again for the super chat, man. You are the best. Noe had many blown coverages in cover three, fire right before the safety, for example. Watch the tape. He was bad on tape, good in game. He blew another. I assume you are talking about Darrell Luter Jr. That's my guess. Darrell Luter Jr., hot and cold. I thought that he played relatively well in the first against the starters. Man, it got real bad at the end. A couple really bad run fits outside, but he had some really great run fits. Way too much soft cushion on third down in the like free first down for 12 yards. Got beat on an over. Obviously, that huge touchdown where nobody was guarding, that was on him and a safety. But I assume that's who you're talking about there, Fish. If you want to clarify for me, my bad. Not trying to miss that. But I do love you jumping into all this stuff. Fish are relaxing. You know your stuff, and I love it. But, yeah, Luter, I don't think it's going to make it either. Maybe practice squad. Like, I think the time has come. But he did have a lot of quality tape. I will say that. It's just boom or bust. Dallas Flowers, 100% better player. Dallas Flowers is better special teamer. He's not as big or as physical as Darrell Luter Jr., but he's more consistent in the run. He gets to where he's supposed to go all the time. Let's look at Darrell Luter Jr. He had a 66.8 grade. Not bad. Played 55 snaps. He played the most snaps of anybody. That's a red flag. That is a red flag. That guy for the 49ers usually doesn't make it. Usually doesn't make it. I really thought Dallas Flowers. Now, he gave up a touchdown, but, man, that was good coverage. That touchdown, that was a damn good pass, man. Anyway, yeah, I'm Luter makes me scratch my head a lot. I'm just going to be very, very honest. Jacob Robinson, I just see a project player. If there's things that I see with Jacob Robinson does it, and I'm just like, yes, like it's in there. I don't think that he has the physical play strength to be used as a special teamer. Like, dude, get bodied on special teams. Like, I don't know what he can do out there. Like, can't be a gunner. That was really, really bad. Can't play outside corner too well yet. In the joint practice, they moved him outside corner, and they kind of picked on him a little bit. But there's things that he has, just as cat-like. He's just pouncy, man. I really like him, but I think he's a year removed. Like, he is just one of those people that I think is functional play strength has to be developed. I think that it does. And so I'll stay there. Right here, Fish, appreciate you clarified. Noah Siegel to play before on the safety, on the five-man slot. Yeah, I'm not saying he was perfect. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying I would take him way over. And, like, we haven't seen a lot of Siegel. He hasn't been getting a lot of the reps because it's been Richie Grant, it's been Jason Pinnock, and it's been Jair Brown. Well, Richie Grant's hurt. Well, Jair Brown's hurt. He's out there getting those snaps now. Some of his reads, a little late to get there. And I remember the play you're talking about because he's lined up on the right, and it motions to it like a three high or a single high, and it was a quick screen to the right. And so, like, he has to roll up to the top and then gets back over there. Was a little bit late on some things. It's not like he played a perfect game. I don't think that that's the case at all. But from a 49ers standpoint on what it is that they are looking for at a safety position, Marquise has it. I just think that he has it completely. And again, it's one preseason game, and he was being elevated, played above his pay grade where he hasn't been playing with these guys. It's going to take some time, but man, I'm not saying it's a perfect game. He had a 63.8 grade. He was the 11th highest defender, but man, the best tackler, highest tackling grade film. That dude fills the alley. Well, a lot of positives, I freaking love it. But that was a back cover three concept. Yeah, I'm not here to argue concepts with you, but was he perfect? I don't care. I saw enough to say that this guy fits exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish at the safety position. Exactly. Is he perfect? No. Jason Pinnock was bad. Only played 11 snaps. I thought he was bad. I didn't think Derek Canteen played good at all whenever they put him back there. I kind of want Derek Canteen. He was the tryout guy that they gave the roster spot to. I'm just like, man, I feel like corner, they're trying to figure out a spot for him. I don't think it's looking good. They moved him to safety. I don't know what his role is. Special teams wasn't really even that good either for him. But, like, man, if I'm betting on anybody, I'm betting on Marquise Siegel. I hate that he's kind of injured now. That's kind of the stinker, right? Like, man, like, you finally get all of these different rookie players getting playing time in games and showing positive. And then it's just like, man, as soon as that happens, injury, 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 injury. Upton Stout injured. Tatum Bethune injured. Marquise Siegel injured. Michael Williams injured. Like, all those things. Adam Schefter just put out 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan estimated today Brandon Ayuk, who is recovering from his knee injury, could be back for week 6. I thought it was week 1. I don't think week 6 is going to happen either. The age-old adage, believe Kyle Shanahan on a lot of things. Like, he doesn't mince words, but whenever he's talking injuries, nah, bro. Now, October 12th is week 6. That's the Tampa Bay game. I don't know. Week 5 is the Rams game. I've said for the longest time, I think November. So that's just, and again, I have no access to reports. I have no access to x-rays. I have no access to rehab. I'm just saying how bad that injury was. You don't want to rush them back. But, man, if it was October 12th, I'd be happy. That's under what I would say. I would say November 2nd would be my bet date. And he might be back to practicing and whatever else by October. But, man, that was not a traditional ACL. That was a full contact ACL, MCL, full reconstruct. That's why I'm just like, take that. It's just, we'll have to see kind of how that goes. And so now I do want to jump over to the offensive side. I want to talk about that. Now, if you're going to any of these games, and we'll be at the Tampa Bay game throwing a hellacious party. We were there last time. It was awesome. But if you're going to any games this year, you got to use TickPick. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. And make sure you use promo code Niners. Get $10 off, N-I-N-E-R-S, any ticket that you buy whenever you first sign up on the TickPick app, which is free. You get an additional 10 bucks off. So, and just remember, kids are always free to our events anytime we do any event. And if you're coming out week 1, man, you guys know we're going to be out there with the legend himself. Frank Gore is going to be out there partying with us. So, man, come out that Saturday. It's going to be an absolute blast. Now, let's talk offense. I talked to Connor Colby a little bit. I want to hold off on Drew Moss. He played mostly the second half, but played clean. Yeah, those two guys played really, really clean. And especially whenever you're looking at just, man, some poor tape from Nick Sekel, especially early, some poor tape from Ben Bartsch, especially early. I did think Ben Bartsch was awesome in pass pro, but man, just struggled in the run game. Now you're playing against their starters, but Ben Bartsch is a starter. So yeah, you're going to be playing against – there's a big difference between lining up next to Trent Williams and lining up, you know, next to Spencer Burford. But still, not quality play, but that's not really what the 49ers are going for. And I hate to say that. I hate to say that, but it's what it is. DeMarcus Robinson, third highest graded player, 76.5. I have no problem. If you told me the 49ers receivers week 1 – are Ricky Pearsall and DeMarcus Robinson, sign me up. With what the 49ers have gone through at that position, I'm fine with that. DeMarcus Robinson's consistent. does everything you want to do, wins at the catch point, gets you a little bit extra, not much. He's not a true yak guy, but he's going to get the damn job done and be where he needs to be all the time. He can win in space, very good in the goal line, 7 touchdowns last year, career high. The problem is with the suspension, if Juwan Jennings, you got to have Juwan Jennings if he's suspended. And preferably, like, you want Juwan Jennings, Riggy Bearsall, and DeMarcus Robinson as your 1-2-3. That's what you want it to be. But if, it's rough, man. These 49ers wide receiver streets, not good. Jordan Watkins, I thought Corey Kiner played really good. Consistent, man. Like, you see it. I'm a big Patrick Taylor guy because he's dependable and consistent. Like, that is so huge for me. Somebody that's always going to do what you want them to do and be there every day and just get the damn job done. But you get none of the extra sauce. You get none of the flavor. Corey Kiner's got the flavor. I mean, you see the stiff arm. You see the jump cuts. You see the verticality. You see the attack in the ground with his feet. Everything is purposeful. He played well. 34 snaps. Fifth highest rated player. Consistent. He got a little bit more juice than Patrick Taylor, but still not a splashy player. But your splashy guys are all hurt. Jordan James hurt. Isaac Grindo hurt. CMC, you got to protect. Man, do not watch the Rams preseason game if you can help it. Cody Schrader looks like a freaking beast. And I'm just like, man, if we had Cody Schrader right now. That was such a huge miss. Such a huge miss. Anyway, take whatever. Matt Hennessy, I would take him over Jake Brindle right now. Sign me up. The consistency is there. The play strength is there. Probably not as good a pass protector as Brindle. I don't think he's as good there. At least he wasn't in this performance. But, man, way better. More consistent. Gets better drive. Doesn't quit in the middle of the play. It's not going to happen. But, again, like, if John Chapman was the O-line coach, which thank God I'm not, Chris Forster's a beast. Very first day, first thing I'm saying is there's a competition for center. It's a competition. We're splitting ones. Who wants it? Prove it. Both y'all starting from zero. No preferred. Play my best friend. Play the guy I like. Play the guy that golfs with Brock Purdy. We ain't doing that shit. It's a competition. Who wants it? And maybe Jake Brindle wins that, but it's not. That's not what it is. But that is sure as hell what should happen. And the tape says so. Tape says so. Anyway, Braden Willis was decent, still same issues. Struggles in special teams to sustain blocks. Offers you enough, but nothing great. I don't want to keep him as a roster spot. And again, that's what I think quarterback and tight end, you just keep two each. And then you hope these guys pass through waivers and you bring back Braden Willis, you bring back Tonjes, you bring back Dwelly, whoever falls. And the same thing with the quarterback position. Somebody selects Carter Bradley. That means Gus Bradley's coaching for somebody else. Like, nobody's claiming that, dude. Tanner Mordecai, bring him back. Cool, as your number three. I don't care. But Spencer Burford graded out well. The tape was not bad. Like, he had an awesome rep early on against Nick Benito where he threw him into the ground. I mean, did that whole, like, snatch, the kind of jerk block that Trent always does, and I put him face first in the ground in pass protection. Those reps early ruined a drive. Not all his fault. Jake Tonjes, that dude, screwed it up several times in a row. The tight end position's bad. It's bad. Drake Nugent, I thought, played decent. Patrick Taylor, he's going to give you what Patrick Taylor does. Isaiah Hodgins and Russell Gage. Those two, one of those guys is going to be a starter if DeMarcus Robinson gets suspended week one. And so that sucks. Like, it is possible your two wide receivers are Riggy Bearsall and Russell Gage starting week one on the road against a division opponent with the top five secondary in the Seattle Seahawks. Like, that's the strength of their team, their D-line and their secondary. And it's just like, really? This is what we're rolling out there, huh? Hopefully, Juwan Jennings, that changes everything because he's so physical. He's abused the hell out of those guys and gotten several of them benched in the past. Oh, man. And you know, Robbie Chosen's out there getting all these snaps. It bothers me. Why is it? Tariq Owens got 2 snaps. Robbie Chosen got 24. You know what the hell Robbie Chosen is, but I understand Kyle Shanahan and Kubiak are going to say, well, we need veterans, and we know where they're going to be at all times. We know that with Robbie's multiple years in the system, blah, 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 blah. I get it. I understand it. I don't know. Luke Farrell, I didn't think played well in his 10 snaps. Obviously, huge bust on the block. Was a little late getting there. That resulted in a sack. Played 10 snaps, didn't play well. Had a 45 grade. So, like, how much do you want to judge that? I don't know. I thought Nick Sekel was bad. I thought Austin Pleasance was horrible. And the backup quarterback. It's hard to grade the offense whenever the quarterback's just so terrible. And when the offensive line is just so terrible. Yeah, that's hard. That's a hard one. And so now maybe Jacob Cowing returns and shows something, pulling your hamstring, getting routes on air. It's not good. It's just not good. It's not good. So you got to see, and we've got to kind of figure out who are the guys you can rely on. And now you've got joint practices in Vegas, and then you got two more preseason games. This is the game where you let your starters play a little bit. So in the past, like Brock Purdy played 11 snaps week two last year and then played 24 snaps week three. So almost exactly carbon copy what you saw. Zero snaps week one, 11 week two, 24 week three. I think that's kind of what they're going to pull up again. Logan Bergen is definitely going to make it solely for special teams. It was cool seeing him make that play. Really, really was. And, you know, Dallas Flowers is the return option number two, and I like that. I didn't really like Dallas Flowers blocking on kickoffs, but he's the return option number two, so he could improve in the blocking. And still, you know, one of the returns that Dallas Flowers had, he got past the 33. He got to the 33-yard line. That's positive. You start past the 30, I got no complaints whatsoever. I don't know about Burgeon. Like, I do like him, but the fact that they're not incorporating him into the offense really at all. Now, he got 22 snaps on the offensive side, but let's see here. Like, did he get targeted once? He didn't get one. Yeah, he got two targets, no catches. But that's the thing. You got Carter Bradley out there throwing him passes. Those aren't quality snaps. I thought his blocking was okay. He had one drop. One of them was a drop. I haven't finished the second half yet, so just the first half. So kind of take that for what you will. But yeah, I hope Birkin makes it. I hope that he does. It's just, how do you use a whole spot for that? Shouldn't have spent the seventh round pick on him if you're not. So he's shown you what he can do, and that was huge. That was a 20-plus yard return. That's two fewer first downs that you don't have to get because of special teams. And it was 100% on Bergen. It was blocked fairly well, but he made an unblocked guy miss, broke contain, used his speed. Is that enough? Is that enough? Okay, Chris says, week one wide receivers. Yeah, right here. I hope you're right. Juwan Jennings, Demarcus Robinson, Ricky Pearsall, Russell Gage, Jordan Watkins, maybe. Robinson doesn't get suspended. Yeah, that's what you're hoping for. And you know, you have Jacob Cowing in there. If Watkins is missing a month, you got to take Watkins out and put in Jacob Cowing. I think that they trust Gage and Hodgins more than they trust the rookie. And yeah, we got to get Renardo Green back. We got to get so many guys back. Stout back. We just got guys out. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Isaiah Prince comments. That's somebody you just picked up off the street. He played 29 snaps at right tackle, second half again. Haven't got through that tape yet. I don't know. Right here. Does Robinson count against the 53? Let's see here. I'm asking Google here because they've changed it a lot. And so I want to make sure, because I think that they do. Now, if they get put on the exempt list, then that's a different story. So, it depends a little bit. So, no, suspended players do not count against the 53-man's active roster in the NFL. So, you have to make the 53, though. So, if he's suspended, I wonder if he's got to be able to make the 53, if it's like the NFI or if it's like the PUP or if as soon as he's suspended, he just doesn't count. So that's helpful, because if he is, then you just use one of those roster spots for Russell Gage or Isaiah Hodgins, whichever one. And so then you've got your veteran presence that you can trust. So that's huge. So that helps. So he's still got to make the 53-man roster, and it depends on when the suspension comes back. But whenever he comes back, yes. So, yeah, he's exempt from the 53-man count. But those suspended players do count against the 90, kind of like PUP and NFI guys do, which is a pain. So we'll have to see that. But overall, again, you know, the special teams, the coaching, quality, the players, I thought there were a lot of really, really good, you know, just, gosh, man, I think that this, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot more consistency, even with the poor backup play and the quarterbacks kind of ruined a lot of it. You just don't have the quality depth. That's the issue. And you're playing so many inexperienced guys. You've got to increase your just consistency across the board. Can they do that in 2 weeks? That's what we got to figure out. But, man, today is a good day. And if you haven't watched the film, head over there, the49ersrush.com or our Patreon, both in the link in the description of this video or podcast, wherever you watch and or listen. Make sure you guys check it out. And maybe some of these return. Maybe Andre Dillard, you know, can win that swing job. That's kind of the best-case scenario for the 49ers. Maybe Jeff Wilson has something left in the tank. I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I hope so. And maybe we stay healthy this week. That's the goal. That's probably the number one thing that we can all hope for. 49ers staying healthy. You cannot add any more to this injured roster. It's bad. Anyway, today's a great day. Appreciate you guys. That's going to do it for us today. And I'll be back tomorrow. We'll do a live show. Just going to be me. Wayne's got a gig, so he's going to be making the money. I love it. I freaking love that. So I'll be breaking down the rest of the film tomorrow. Then I'll jump on. We'll talk some more about what we saw, and then we'll start to preview all the new information that's coming out and all that. But until that time, y'all are the absolute best. As always, stay strong, faithful.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.